The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, 3-point. Buries it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
Well, you said episode 25 had to be a big one. So we're doubling down. It's the Big Shot Bob Pod. That's B-Dog Brandon Harper. I'm Rob Jenners. That's seven-time NBA champion, the one and only Robert Ory. Doubling down, Clyde Drexler today, and St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Jack Flaherty. So yes. Double the guests this week, and a lot of actually very cool stuff to talk about. Now, I guess we can ask Jack about this when we get him on, but how the hell do you know Jack Flaherty, of all people?
Because this is super random.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Jack's from Glendale. And my wife's daughter and Jack are like best friends growing up. So I've been texting Jack pictures of him looking like a little nerd and everything. So I've been knowing Jack for a long time.
So you're trolling a major league pitcher. Okay, got it.
Yeah. It's fun. You know, he's in our fantasy football league. I'm going to let you know how much Jack loves me.
Okay.
His fantasy football team name is Down With Rob.
Wow. Okay.
Because he wants to beat me. Everybody wants to take the guy on top down, and that's his goal. He don't care about beating nobody but me.
Oh, so you're the defending champ?
Oh, man, as long as I kick his ass, that's all that matters, right?
Okay, cool.
But, yes, I am the defending champ. You know, we didn't play last season because it was just so crazy, but I am the defending champ.
I like it. So we will talk
to is win, no matter what.
We will talk to Jack in a little bit. He's going to be in the second half of the show. Clyde Drexler is going to join us here, hopefully in a minute. We got the ominous. I'll send him a text from Rob. Well, I mean, hopefully he knows the show is going on. But you know, are you and Clyde still talk pretty regularly? Are you guys close?
Yes. Clyde is one of the great guys, man. You know, when you go around the NBA and you talk about guys who don't get enough respect. I feel like Clyde is one of those guys.
Really?
Think about it. He was Clyde the Glide, man.
I was going to say, I feel like
50.
Clyde gets a pretty fair amount of respect.
No, like a lot of people don't, man. You know, everybody talks to me. I think like him and Dream, of course, I'm always on their bandwagon. I won my first championship with those guys. But, you know, Clyde was an amazing athlete. That dude sit on the sideline all day, and all of a sudden we start practicing. He's beating everyone down the court, man. He didn't have to warm up or nothing, man. This dude was amazing. So,
man, yeah. Everybody know about Clyde. Everybody know what Clyde did. Everybody know how great Clyde was.
I mean, when I was growing up, it was the staple of the NBA. Everybody wanted to be the Glide. You wanted to do the big dunk.
Seriously?
Like when I was a young kid, because it was the early Jordan year. So Jordan hadn't taken over the NBA in its entirety yet. So Clyde was one of those like late 80s standout stars before Jordan took over the whole freaking league. That I always remember everybody wanted to do the Glide. Everyone wanted to do the big dunk. We'd lower the rims down to like 4 feet as little kids and just do our craziest dunks.
But you know what? I'm not gonna lie. What I used to try to do, you know how Clyde used to jump and he would fold his legs up?
Oh yeah.
You know how hard that is to do that?
Very.
And try to jump. I'm like, man, I tried that one time. I think I took all the skin off my knee when I landed because I fell. I'm like, I can't get my leg down in time.
And my thing is, look, you can go back even further if you want to know about Clyde. Five Slammer Jammer.
Oh, yeah.
University of Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Him and a king. So if you don't know, you better ask somebody or do your Googles or your YouTube.
Do your Googles. You said you were with your son all week, so you haven't been really connected to much. What are you doing with your son?
No, AAU tournament this weekend. And so you're in the gym, and it's not like it's a 10-minute drive. It's a 45, 50-minute drive. You get home, you get him something to eat, you get into bed, and you start that day all over the next. AAU, man, it's a bitch, boy. I ain't going to lie. If you're trying to really get your son involved and give him some playing time, you know, I said, you know what? I told another day, I said, I'm going to go find a bunch of guys who can play. And we just going to meet up at the gym and play every day because this you probably learn more and it take less stress off your body from going up and down the highway.
Yeah, that AAU circuit is something else. But, you know, that's where you see so many guys, you know, you got entertainers, you got all kind of megastar is going to see a lot of these young guys play ball, a lot of these young phenoms who a lot of people want to cover. But that's where a lot of guys get noticed in that circuit. And, you know, a lot of people are really starting to catch on. That's where a lot of your stars in the league came from.
Yeah, it's so weird that, you know, in my era, there was no – it was no AAU. It was AAU in the big cities, but when you're from a small town,
yeah,
all you had to do was go up against the guys that were in your neighborhood. You know, my brother was older than his friends, and so I thank him because he didn't let us play with them. We always had to play against them. I don't know if it's because they like beating up on us, or he just was trying to make us better, but it worked in our favor.
Man, I gotta tell you too. By the way, I love using NordVPN. I'm like, it's one of those things that now that I have it, I use it all the time. I didn't realize that I needed it as much as I did because, like we talked about before, I'm on the internet looking up crap for this show in every dark corner of the internet, and it just pays to be safe. A VPN, by the way, if you don't know, is a virtual private network, kind of hides your IP address so websites and hackers and all those people can't pull your information and get to you. It's awesome. It's super fast, by the way. And it saves me from getting a ton of wild ads on my social media. So NordVPN is the real deal.
You know, we do search those dark places sometime. And if you're using a VPN, you need a fast one. That's what, you know, that what sets NordVPN apart from the rest. No lagging, no reconnecting, just reliable connections all the time. And that's what you need to have. If it's going to really work, it needs to work all the time. If it works on your computer, it works on your phone, and you can use it up to 6 devices. That's the fun part. 6 devices. So you, your wife, your kids, or whoever your significant other, include your smart TV. If you watch a lot of TV like I do, you need that on your smart TV. And it keeps you safe online, so it's a no-brainer.
Look, I've used plenty of janky free VPNs in my day that just drop and might make you watch ads and all this stuff. And Nord doesn't have any of that. They are hands down the fastest I've ever used. But don't just take our word for it. Try it for 30 days with no risk. That's a month to give it a shot, and you get a money-back guarantee if you don't like it. But it's one of those things that once you start using it, you'll be like, how did I ever go on without this? So we're going to get you on board. Rob's got hookup for more savings, too. So go ahead and save some people some money.
Yeah, you know what you got to do. You just got to go to nordvpn.com/Ori. That's nordvpn.com/Ori. H-O-R-R-Y. And we'll hook you up with a huge discount on a 2-year plan. That's 2 years. And you get a bonus gift.
I love a bonus gift.
Just use the coupon code ORI, H-O-R-R-Y, at checkout, and we give you that gift. NordVPN.com/ORI. But do it quick. This offer is up soon.
We got a legend connecting in here.
Clyde the God.
He probably just came off the golf course.
Or he's headed there.
Albert, hey, guys. What's happening?
Uh-huh. How are you, man?
I'm doing really well. How's everything? Delighted to be here today.
Oh, you're kidding me. It's an honor. We were just talking about you, man. It's an honor to have you. All right. Well, go ahead, man. Spill the beans. Give us all your goods on Robert Ori before we get started. Well, I know you got him.
Hey, I got to tell you, Big Shot Bob is a hell of a call. I always
ask. You have literally paid everybody that you played with on the Houston Rockets things about you.
I swear. One day someone's going to come in and go, oh, I got some shit. Hold on. We haven't gotten it yet, though.
Clyde, everybody's trying to get so much dirt on me on the show, man. I'm like, I thought it was my show, man. I'm like, damn. I'm like, they try to get dirt on me. But, think about me, man. I would just try to treat everybody the same. If you was a top dog, if you was a little dog, I just want to enjoy the game of basketball, have fun, and just play hard and do what, you know, do what we love so much, man. And that's the one thing that, you know, from playing with Clyde, you know, Clyde had a love for the game like no other. And you know, you were watching. I remember going up against him in Portland. You know, I was determined to always block his finger roll. You know, everybody don't know, Clyde had one of the best finger rolls in his game, man. One of the best.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was always a challenge to go against him. But when he joined us, it was an honor to play alongside, think about it. Top 50, man. Top 50.
Hey, Rob, sometimes you get lucky. Let me tell you. You know, the Lakers were always the best team, first of all. But for the 80s, you know, I came in 83, Bob. And so you had to get past Kareem, Worthy, Magic, and Byron Scott. Those guys are always very good. And so finally, when you get past them, then teams like the Jazz were always good. The Rockets were good. And so the Western Conference was loaded. The Suns were good. Seattle was good. And so, you know, we went to the finals two out of two 2 years in the 90s, which was pretty phenomenal because the good teams are still there, Chicago, Detroit, all these dominant teams. And so basketball, that was the golden era to me, Bob. If you in the finals a one in those eras, you were real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for
you
real.
Know, and I say that because you had to cultivate that team. You had to grow. You had to, you know, get the right draft picks to make that team right. It wasn't like, you know what? Me and Clyde used to play together. We homeboys, you know, AAU circuit. I'm going to go play with Clyde. You know what? And then I'm going to bring my boy with me and play. So it was back then. It was hard to get what they call now super teams. You had to grow and cultivate a team through draft and, you know, a good trade and whatnot. So it was difficult. And plus, it was hard on your body because that defense was a mother, boy.
Yeah, hand checking was real. It would drastically change the game in today's game if they included the hand checking, Rob. But they took that away, so it makes it a lot easier to score. I actually think they should have an asterisk for all the scoring since they took
away the hand check. No one has a title. That's it.
It's funny you say that, Clyde, because people always come to me and says, well, this guy's averaging 25 points. I'm like, he's shooting like 40 times a game. That's not good. It's not good. I'm like, okay, look at, you know, Clyde, Dream, Barkley, Ewing, you know, Jordan, all these guys. These guys are averaging 25-plus points. They wasn't shooting threes, just getting to the basket and taking less shots. So I know everybody's so high on this era now with, oh, these guys are shooters, you know. Yeah, it's a couple that could have got buckets in that era, but a lot of these points, man, let me see you slow down, take two shots a game, see how good you are then.
I agree, Bob. And also, just to add to that, Bob, you know, everybody talk about now, well, this guy's a shooter. It's, well, every great player in our era was a shooter. I mean, yeah. Big Shot Bob, he's a great but he's a hell of a player, too. There's nothing worse than having a shooter who can't get his own shot.
Hey, Clyde, you know, you were known as many things. And one thing that I remember you were known for is people would call you the Jordan stopper. They said this guy was just as athletic, just as gifted. He was the guy that was going to slow down the one who they call Black Jesus. And so at what point in time, you know, you're many times going up against Michael, whether it had been in Portland or even Houston or wherever, at what point did you realize, like, oh, this guy is absolutely different?
Absolutely. The first time you play against him, you realize that. Good. He was smart. He was, you know, loved the game. He was a gym rat, so you couldn't pull any of the veteran moves on him. I'm a year older than Mike. But what I loved about playing against Mike was that I knew he was going to bring his best every single night. And for guys that love the game and love the competition, I'd rather play against Michael Jordan every night because it's easy to get up. That's why you play the game. You want to play against the best. I only had trouble playing against the Yummy Bears. On you know, Rob knows you got to wake me up when we play against but I love playing against the best competition, and Michael Jordan was as good as there was, trust me.
So we touched on the 95 Rockets. Let's kind of just go back to it for half a second, because you kind of came into that team and it kind of caused a little bit of a disturbance. We've talked to Vernon Maxwell, we've talked to Rudy T. You come in, Mad Max gets all PO'd that he's losing his time, and he kind of storms off. What was it like kind of dropping into that team and then kind of like trying to meld those relationships and make that thing work?
Well, let me tell you, it was pretty – the best thing was that Hakeem and I were friends and really good friends. So we had great chemistry from day one. We played together in college, right? So we knew each other like brothers. We had tried to get on the same team, either him coming to Portland or me coming to Houston for the previous like 10 years. We realized at the All-Star that it's probably not going to happen. And sure enough, it happened. Right when you give up. Right? That's when it
always.
And so coming on that team was great because we had that chemistry. But the guys who had to make the biggest sacrifices were Robert Horry and Vernon Maxwell. Maxwell won because he's going to lose some playing time. Robert Horry, because he, not only is he got to face the bigger, stronger guys at power forward, you know, he don't get to be the third guy on the defense coming from the weak side to block shots. So now he's got to take more punishment. Game is physical. He's got to guard Karl Malone, Charles Oakley, you know, Otis Thorpe, and Buck Williams. And so Robert at 6'10 was forced to play power forward, which is tough for him. But give Bob a lot of credit. You know, he said a couple things and he wasn't happy about it, but he did
it. Hey, I'll tell you, man, Otis and I were like super tight. We used to go to breakfast together, you know, and that's the thing that you develop these bonds with people. And all of a sudden you don't, and you got Clyde. And it wasn't the fact that I'm like, you know, Clyde, hell of an athlete, but I'm like, I'm losing my boy, and I'm looking around the locker room like, fuck, Chucky Brown can't play power forward. Pete Jailcup can't play power. Well, damn it, man, I've got to play power forward. I don't want to do this. And so it was weird, man, because it was one of those things I did not want to do. And look at what happened. We changed the whole game.
It worked.
And now we became this, you know, stretch four team, and We brought a whole different dynamic to the league. We kind of messed the league up now, because that's everybody now want to shoot threes and fours. It used to be a stretch four. Now it's stretch fives. You know, you have to be a guy who can come out and just shoot threes. But it was a good time, man. We had so much fun playing with Clyde, and you know, his game, man, was so unique. I'm telling you, and Clyde, I got to tell you something too, Clyde. I don't think you knew this, but you know, when you got on the team, you were known for being late all the time. Yeah.
Hold up, Rob. In Portland, we had a rank system. Not only if you were late, you had to pay everybody. I was the on-time guy. Now, hold up. You called me late coming to that Houston team?
Hold on. Now, you don't know this. I want you to go back and ask anybody. We changed the time of practice. I think we said, I can't remember exactly. We said practice was going to be at 10:30. We told you that. But we told everybody else that practice is going to be at 11 o'clock so if practice could start on time. I don't think you knew this, man, but it's, no. I'm spilling the beans right now.
All I knew was Kenny Smith and Hakeem were going to be later than me. That's all.
Hey, and crazy, I tell them earlier, Clyde, I'm like, I hated Clyde because Clyde come into practice, put his gear on and start reading the paper. And all of a sudden, it's practice start. He's out running everybody down the court. He's dunking me. I'm like, who does this? I'm like, I'm 10 years younger than this dude, and I can't do that shit, man. So it was just, I tell people all the time, you were an amazing athlete, and some of the things that you were able to do on the court was just incredible, man. You know, think about it.
A lot of people may not know. The one thing I knew I could help that team with, you know, not only playing great defense, but we were good defensively with Robert and Mario and Dream and myself. We had four stellar defenders, right, every night. But they were good in half court because Dream was a monster. You couldn't stop him. But if I can get Robert and Mario on more transition buckets, that's going to double our output on the offensive end. And that's what we surprised teams, Robert. Yeah. They weren't ready for our transition game. So as much as we could run, man, we could light teams up.
Yeah. Speaking of transition, I know I keep interrupting you guys, but this is a funny story. I don't know where we were playing, but we were on the break, and Clyde was notorious for putting his head down and was full of steam. So I stopped running, right? And I don't know if you remember this, Clyde. And Clyde came up to me like, keep running. I'm like, why? You had your head down. I didn't think he was going to see me. He said, no, I see you. Just keep running. I was like, okay. So, and we used to get a lot of transition buckets like that. If you don't know someone's, you know, you think about most point guards come down, or guy to guard, they come up with the head up, they seeing everything. Clyde would just, I don't know if that's, you would do that to trick people, but Clyde would just put their head down and be going 100 miles per hour. Next thing you know, boop, he's giving it to you for a dunk.
Because if they don't get in front of you, it's a dunk. And if they get, then you got the dunk. They can't stop them both. So the key is to get that speed going, because speed kills. Mm-hmm. And so put Mario on that break. That added a whole new dimension to our offensive team. And you know, it's hard to set up 5-on-5 every single time. And so if we can get 12 to 15 transition buckets, not only are we happier, you know, we're scoring more and we're demoralizing the other team. And so that's what made that 95 Rockets team so devastating. The great defense and ability to get in transition with our great half-court game. You got a lot of intangibles that were good.
Yeah.
Hey, Clyde, there was a report that came out because, you know, we got Team USA and they're struggling a little bit right now. And there's a report that came out that a few guys aren't, you know, necessarily happy with certain foul calls not being called. You know, they're looking back at the refs over there just like they do when they're over here, and refs aren't going for it. So I think it's ironic. So take yourself back to that 92 team, that dream team. You were there. And just that era, it's got to be pretty ironic to hear that, you know, you got guys looking back at FIBA officials like, why am I not getting this call? And then you have a lot of, you know, guys from the old school like you, like, that should never be a call anyway.
Well, here's the problem. You should be up 35-40. You shouldn't be contesting those calls, right?
Right, exactly.
You have a huge lead. You got to know that you can't depend on the officials to make calls. You got to come out and blow teams out. They need to adapt a new attitude, quit trying to trick the officials into making calls. I think that's what's hurting the game today, the NBA game in particular. Quit trying to trick the officials into making calls. Make a real move, and things will work out. Rob, if when we played it, we could just run into a guy and throw the ball up or just throw the ball under his arms and be at the free throw line. I mean, that's not what people pay for.
Yeah. It's bad basketball.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
Yeah. And the other thing about that is you watch these guys now, they're not even trying to make shots. They're just trying to get fouls called. I'm like, dude, that, you know, that's not your shot. Just shoot the ball, dude. You know, do you want to play basketball or do you want to be in the soccer or the WWE and have all these antics and flops and stuff? I'm like, just play basketball. If you a bucket getter, you're going to get buckets. You know, shoot the ball and keep playing.
You know, they act like they're thespians. They're acting out there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. When you see the NBA, when I came up, I watched the beat. Julius Erving, George Gervin, Jerry West, Earl the Pearl, they had incredible skill. And that's why the pros are so excited. They could do things that were very difficult, but they did it with style and made it look easy, right? That's what you want to see in a professional game. I don't want to see you go up under somebody's arm and fall down. That's not a skill move in basketball. I mean, you get away with it because the officials call that, but in our era, that would not have been a foul. It shouldn't be a foul in today's game, and that's why they're having trouble with the people.
Yeah, the natural shooting motion has gone out the window. It's like, that's the first thing, like, oh, that's not a natural shooting motion. I'm like, okay, you got to change it up now. So, but now they give it to him.
Which is ridiculous. It's you got to have some integrity. If you make a good move and get fouled, that's one thing. But if you make a little bogus Bush League move, you need to go down court with that turnover.
And another thing with Team USA, you know, every 4 years we talk about combining some of the greatest talent, which is here in the United States, of combining these guys together and going over to represent your country. But what a lot of people don't understand is you can't just bottle up the talent and just say go. One thing that you look back at the 08 and the 2012 team, they had undeniable leadership with Kobe and LeBron. They had everybody and held everybody accountable. I don't see a lot of leadership on this 2020 team. It just seems like it's a bunch of talent put together and they just say go, which seems like why they're also having a lot of trouble.
And, you know, they don't have Anthony Davis or a player like that or LeBron James, these dominant players who are inside and outside dominant, great defensive player that can take over the game. Durant and Lillard, I thought, would provide more leadership, and I think they will going forward. But just as a whole, they've got to do a better job. What has happened is unacceptable.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, you brought up Lillard, so I mean, obviously your Portland roots are huge. Everybody, you know, you carved the way for the Trailblazers in the 80s and 90s. What do you think of Chauncey Billups working out there now as the new Portland head coach?
That's a great selection. I think Chauncey will represent the coaching ranks very well. He'll be great in Portland. He'll really help Damian Lillard accomplish his goal of trying to win the championship. I think Chauncey gives them the best opportunity.
Yeah.
Good choice.
For me, like when it comes to coaching, I don't want to see any more point guards at head coaching position, man. I'm tired of that.
You've been complaining about that for months now, though.
That's my pet peeve, Clyde. I always complain about they always want to hire point guards as head coaches now. I'm like, man, stop doing this. Get me a small forward and somebody like Monty Williams, who's a small forward. Look what he's doing. That's what I'm talking about. Small forwards are the smartest guys on the court.
Says the small forward.
Rob, you were an exception. You were a smart player. But a lot of small forwards, they just get to their spot and shoot it when the ball comes.
All right. Listen, man, Clyde, we appreciate your time. We'll let you bounce. We know you're probably
– golf course calling you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
But Rob, I'm in the day, so, you know, the timing was a little different. Traveling a lot.
Where are you?
I'm in L.A., believe it or not.
Oh, you in L.A.? I thought you said you was going back home.
Well, I went to L.A. I got two kids who live in L.A., so we came out and hung out.
That's
so,
great.
You know.
Okay, you down the street then.
All right.
Call you. Well, man, how long you out here, man? Let's do dinner or something, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to call you for dinner because you're going to buy me dinner or something.
I'll buy you dinner.
Well done, Clyde. Well done.
I'm going to call you.
All right, man.
All right, Clyde.
Thanks, Clyde.
All right.
You're the best, man. Thanks.
All right, thanks, see ya, man. Blessings.
You know, it's funny. You texted me the other day this video of Michael Rapoport. Kind of talking trash, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know what this is. This is Stat Hero. He's good people. He's a daily fantasy lunatic, Michael Rapoport, if you don't know. And no matter how many times I've played him on other sites, I can't seem to ever beat him until I signed up for Stat Hero, and now I've taken him down twice. I beat him in the Home Run Derby, and I beat him in one of the NBA Finals games. So you can go log on to stathero.com, and you can see what the lineups that either Stat Hero or, in this case, Michael Rapoport is playing, and then you just have to beat their lineup. So that's how that works, and that's what I've really enjoyed about playing Stat Hero. It's just kind of you versus the house.
Yeah, Rapoport is a great guy, but if you can see Rapoport's lineup ahead of time, you know, I can beat it. Finally, you really can have a shot to win. You know, who doesn't like to win? Everybody wants to be a winner. No more playing against guys like Mike with their 57 lineups and pro picks. You just see their picks up front and set the lineup and to beat them. And, you know, it's that easy. Yeah, just kick their butts.
That's what I like, man. Because I don't like playing like the blind matchup where you don't know who anybody. No, this is way, way better. There's several different lineups posted, too. So if you don't want to play against one, you can play against a different lineup. More fun to me than 10,000 people in a room. You're going to finish 7,853rd place. It's the most fun way to play daily fantasy for me. And you can challenge Rap, like I said, NBA Finals. I took him down during the Home Run Derby. Even the British Open this weekend, by the way. His lineups are up. So are Stat Hero's lineups. So go take them down.
Yeah, all you got to do is go to stathero.com/bigshot. Sign up for free. And right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. That's 3 times. Yeah. 3 times. Now, that's 300% match.
Yeah.
That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/bigshot. That's stathero.com/bigshot.
See, 3 times is 300%. That's good. That Alabama education is paying off for you finally.
Yay.
Yay. I could do math education now.
Sorry, guys. He was talking about how much you guys sucked.
It's okay. I would mute us for that, too. We don't need that emotional bomb dropped on us. It's fine. It's cool.
I just wasted 5 minutes of your life, man, sitting there listening to me shoot the shit where y'all didn't.
Dude, we've been doing this show for 6 months. You've wasted hours of my life. Oh, Lord. He was great, though, man. He's good. It is hysterical to me that nobody on the Rockets will give up any shit on you. Like, whatever stuff y'all have done and bad behind the scenes stuff, no one's willing to give it up, man.
Dude, this is the truth. I didn't do any dirt,
no,
man.
No, you don't seem like a guy that would, but, you know.
The funny part is, like, I was, you know, when I was coming out, it was two things I was scared of. I was scared of going broke because I was scared that someone was going to, you know, do what they did. If they did that to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, steal his money and put him in that position, mm-hmm. What are they going to do to my little ass? You know, so yeah. I was scared of. And the other thing I was scared of was losing my ability to make money like this. Think about it. If you do something stupid, you get blackballed. You're like, we're playing basketball, making millions of dollars playing a fucking sport. I wasn't going to put myself in any position to not make money for myself because I figured, shit, you know, my high is making money. You know,
well, yeah,
my thrill is making money, you know, and so I try to keep it, you know, straight and narrow. I try to keep my nose clean. I got a speeding ticket every now and then.
I was going to say, someday somebody's going to be like, man, we stole a car once. And oh, my God. Oh, thank God no one ever found that out. You know, I don't know. So I'm waiting for that story.
I'm sitting there trying to think of it, if there's any dirt I ever did. I don't think I ever did. I'm too chicken, man.
Someone will turn something up on your ass. We'll get it one day. We'll get it one day.
Then I'm like, damn.
Oh, it's the best. All right, well, I figure we will do a quick round of does Robert Horry care about this news? Because there's some random stuff that went down this week, and it's sports related, but I don't know if it's
anything. This is fun. I like this thing.
You like this? Okay, cool. Connor McGregor breaks his leg. Did you see that?
I saw it.
That was ugly.
But it didn't look that bad to me.
Oh, it was pretty ugly.
I saw a quick stint. It was bad?
Oh, yeah. There's like a shot where he's kind of falling backwards and his leg's going the wrong direction.
It's like a compound fracture, bro.
So was it worse than Anderson Silva?
It may have been something.
Anderson Silva was when he kicked the guy and his leg literally wrapped around the guy's leg.
Oh, God. Yeah, man.
How about the other guy from the MMA? He kicked the dude and stepped back. His leg went one way. He went the other one. Yes, was it like that one?
It almost
in a sense, reminded you of Paul George in when he played.
Ooh.
Broke his leg.
Or Gordon Hayward when he went down.
Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. I mean, it was that level of. But like, I think I've asked you this before, but I don't remember the answer. Are you a UFC guy? Are you like an MMA guy? Like, will you order the pay per view and stuff?
I don't order it. I like to watch it in the reviews because I'm like, the thing about ordering sporting events like boxing, UFC, you could pay whatever the price is and it can last 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Or 2 hours. And I'm like, and that's, you got to roll the dice. So I'm kind of a cheapskate when it comes to something like that. I just can't pay all this money. Don't know how much time I'm going to get for this main event. So I'm like, no, I'm not.
So I guess maybe the question is, what's the last thing you remember buying? Did you buy a fight or a pay-per-view or something?
I just bought Black Widow the other night. Does that count?
Hey, I'll take it. What did you think of Black Widow, by the way?
I love Black Widow, man.
I thought it was good, right?
It was a lot of action.
I thought it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be, honestly.
Yes,
and it's not a knock at Scarlett. I just didn't know what to expect from it. And they've delayed it, like a year and a half because of the pandemic. So I just didn't know what to. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I'm gonna get to watching it. I got a lot of movie and show watching to catch up on.
Yeah,
you know, it's weird because I was watching it because I love Marvel. I'm a huge Marvel fan. I'm a huge comic book fan. So I'm watching it with open mind. And a lot of times, when people watch movies, they go in with a closed mind, like, "Well, it needs to do this, this, and this." And the only time I ever did that when it came to X-Men, I was very disappointed in how the X-Men movies were done. Because I was a huge X-Men fan. But this movie, you know, I had no expectations. I went in, and I was like, it's funny, has a lot of action.
David Harbour was great.
Yes.
As Red Guardian. Holy cow, he was hilarious. Yes, he made the whole movie. Because in the beginning, you're like, oh, he's smart. And then you're like, oh, no, he's just a big idiot. He's the Russian super soldier, but he's just a big dummy. You know what I mean?
But the girl that plays her sister, I don't
Florence
know her name.
Pugh.
Yeah, she was
steals
funny.
The movie. She's so good.
Yes,
posing. She kept making fun of her for posing the whole movie.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it for the Brandon Kayak. He's such a poser.
Funny.
Y'all can say all y'all want. I'm gonna go watch it anyway.
It's so great.
Watch it. It's good.
It's really
good. You have
good.
To go watch.
And I'm telling him he's got to catch up on Loki because the Loki season finale went up today, and that was
wild. So me and Christian can watch it. We can watch it tonight because I was waiting till all of them line up, and then I was just gonna.
There's six episodes, and the season finale of Loki that went up today completely changes the entire makeup of the MCU. I mean, blows the whole thing open. It is so wild.
You know what else I watched this weekend The Quiet Place 2 or The Silent Place 2?
Quiet Place 2.
I've seen that.
So I haven't seen either of these. Are these good, Quiet Place movies?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Are they? Okay. That's John Krasinski's thing.
Yes.
Yeah, from The Office.
You know, speaking of people who from Stranger Things, you got that guy from Stranger Things
Harbour.
and the little boy from Stranger Things with the bushy hair. Had no teeth in the first one.
Okay.
I gotta watch it.
I'll check them out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't watched the Quiet Place movies yet, but Loki was freaking awesome.
All right, we're watching that tonight then.
All right, more does Robert Ory care about this news? The Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup. I'm not knocking hockey. I'm not a hockey person. I've never been a hockey person.
I love to watch hockey live. I cannot watch it on TV because it doesn't rep it well. Because in hockey, the speed of the game, the checking of the boards,
brutal.
You gotta be there live, man. When you watch it from a TV, you're missing that. Because once you watch it live, and then you try to watch it on TV, like. Man, I want to hear him clashing up against the boards, talking shit, you know. But so I'm happy the Tampa Bay Lightning won because, you know, Tampa Bay is a great city, and I'm hoping that they get an NBA team there soon. So
in Tampa?
Really?
Yeah.
Is that even a discussion?
Well, no, it's not a discussion, but you know, you had Toronto playing there this year because they couldn't play in Canada, so hopefully. that was just like it happened to OKC. They got a little taste of it, like, ooh, this is a good taste. I want more. Yeah. Next thing you know, you put a team, because we always look at expansion teams in the NBA. I know we talked about how much we want to put another team in Seattle again.
Orlando is awfully close, though. You know what I mean? That's a tough market, I think, to put an NBA franchise with Orlando. Well, like
the Clippers are awfully close to the Lakers.
Well, this is true. They share a building. You're sleeping in my bed, you jackass. Yeah,
they're a little too close.
Maybe for comfort.
California too big for y'all to be that close to the Lakers.
Yeah. Y'all can't be in San Francisco or something? I mean, come on. Got another home for you. So here's the thing about Tampa, since you're on Tampa. Since Tom Brady has arrived in Tampa, he's been there a year. They've won a Super Bowl. The Lightning won a Stanley Cup, and the Rays made it to the World Series. Here's why that's weird. He was in Michigan from 95 to 2001. Red Wings won 3 Stanley Cups. Michigan won a national championship. He moves to Boston, plays for the Patriots, 01 to 2019. Patriots win 6 Super Bowls. Redskins win 4. Red Sox win 4 World Series. Bruins win a cup. Celtics win a title.
You know what that means, though, Rob.
He needs to move his ass to Atlanta.
Yes, yep. He got to come
to
Atlanta
here and fix this city because we are broken.
And so
we can't keep an all-star game. All right, we got problems. All right.
Here we go. Each one of you, which team do you want to win the title, though? Would it be the Falcons, Hawks, Braves? Who would it be?
I'm going to say the Falcons, because they got to redeem what they did in 2016. It has to be redeemable.
See, and that's why I'm going to go Hawks. I'm going to go Hawks because Hawks, for me, that run that they went on this year was just so much fun.
Yes.
And so exciting. And to watch that team just overtake the city, the Falcons, I don't think, are redeemable for me. Like, 2016 was such – I remember going to sleep at like 1 o'clock in the morning after Super Bowl 52, I think it was, 51.
Yeah.
And I was drunk. And I was mad, and Shannon, my wife, is asleep at this point, rolls over and goes, so did we win? And I'm like, go to bed. Like, I was so, for me, that is, like, irredeemable. You had a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. You can't make that.
But that's why I said the Falcons. You know why? Because it would make that victory in that Super Bowl even much more sweeter, to the fact that you can put 2016 behind you, because now you are the Super Bowl champs. Can you just imagine what this city of Atlanta would be like if the Falcons win the
Super Bowl? I will never put 2016 behind me. I will carry that with me forever. That was a meltdown unlike anything I've ever been a part of.
I am so happy neither one of you said the damn Braves. So I'm so happy about that.
Oh, we love the Braves. We work for the Braves. No, I mean,
but if I have to make a choice, I'm going to go with the Hawks. I have to say, I want the Hawks to win. Falcons, I love the Falcons when they had Michael Vick. You know, I love them when they had Julio, but Julio's gone now, so I'm going to have to go with the Hawks. Because I love Dominique, he's a part of the organization, so my vote goes Hawks.
My all-time favorite player, Dominique Wilkins.
If the Hawks win, especially if they win within the next couple of years, it would be a way above anything anybody ever expected. You know, you saw what they did this year. But if the Falcons win, we needed this. This needed to happen. This, us being in the South and it being more of a football, you know, in the fall, you can smell football in the air. This city is going to lose it if the Falcons win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
Like, if you just travel 3 hours west, you got a football team or an NFL team over there that's going to probably win another national championship, so you can root for them.
Yeah, Alabama.
It's not the same.
Yeah, okay. By the way, you want to talk about a city getting lit on fire. If Georgia ever contends, we say contends. That was another meltdown that we have to live with forever.
Was that 2017?
Yeah, with freaking, they were up 20-7 on Alabama and lose the national championship game. But
we really thought y'all was going to win that game?
Yes. 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 And you know what? Alabama has ripped the carpet out of Georgia from under Georgia fans 100 times over, and yet they keep coming back.
We gave you all our coaching staff. What you expect? You know, it's like Waterboy. You know, you're going to. Go. I got your playbook right here, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Good old Saint Nick, man. Good old Saint Nick.
Jack, hold on a second. Rob walked away from the Zoom for a minute to do something.
I'm doing something for my child. Christian, I had to make him some lunch.
Oh, that's what it is.
Wait a minute. How old is Christian? He's 15? You got to make him lunch? What is that crap?
Well, no, I don't let him cook. He don't touch the stove. His mom won't let him touch the stove. Hell, I was cooking at 12, so 10, 9.
I mean, microwaves work. I mean,
nah, man.
We don't eat no microwave stuff.
You take two pieces of bread, get some turkey, get some lettuce, and smack it together. You ain't got to touch no stove.
Done. Oh.
Hey, you can't. He had a turkey sandwich yesterday. Can't make me turkey sandwich two days.
God forbid this boy eats turkey.
Same thing. Come on.
Jack know my bougie ass son. He know how he is.
That's true. But that's how you raise him. You raise him that way.
No.
That's just bad parenting.
Don't point that finger at me. Come on now. You know.
He's onto it. It's just bad.
You know exactly who fault that is.
You know what's funny is Jack was so happy he got here before you. He got under the call before you did. As long as I got here first.
You forget what his fantasy football team name is.
Yeah, you told us. What was it?
Down with Rob. So he wants to beat me to my own show. So he went down to Rob.
That's how it works. By the way, Jack Flaherty from the St. Louis Cardinals is with us as we continue to just talk trash here to each other pointlessly, going on and on. How you feeling, man?
I'm good. I'm getting there. But surely. Yeah, it's just slowly but surely going through this injury, and that, you know, it's this whole process has sucked. Just sitting around watching games, I've not enjoyed it.
Hey, you know, it's weird when you get one of those injuries that's you look back like, how in the hell did I get this injury? I remember one time when I was with the San Antonio Spurs, I pulled an inner ab. I'm like, what the fuck is an inner ab, man? How do you pull an inner ab? Apparently, I pulled an ab that sits behind your abs. And I had to do all these exercises of strengthening that I never heard of. I said, I didn't even know I could do that. So, but it's the, you know, your obliques and your abdomen and all their muscles are so vital when it comes to sport. Just a little twinge of a little injury can just throw you out of whack. So I know, especially with you, Jack, coming off that mound and using that body to twerk and do all that kind of stuff, it's hard for you, man. So get better, man, because I was expecting you to be an all-star this year. So, man, I'm hating that you know, we just had all-stars, so that's why I said that.
Yeah, I know. We would have been there, but it sucks because it's just a time thing. You know, it's not like I can sit in there and do treatment all day. They're just like, you just got to give it time. Like, that's just what the injury is.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, you look at the state of baseball now. Obviously, baseball is, you know, been trying to – you had a lot of guys that have tried to add a lot of personality to this game, you know, for a long time. We all know baseball is America's pastime. But, you know, some people can say, well – you know, baseball needs a little bit more personality. Good grief. Can guys, you know, showboat a bit? So when you look at a lot of these guys, you know, Fernando Tatis, we're in Atlanta, so we have Ronald Acuña Jr. And you have Tim Anderson with the White Sox. When you as a pitcher and you're going up against these guys and you see them, you know, flipping the bats and doing what they're doing, going around bases, what do you think about the personality of a lot of these top-notch guys in the league? And as a pitcher, you forward, against it, or where's your stance?
So I think that there's a fine line about doing things, and not a fine line. I think that guys get, you know, they get upset about certain things, but this is the way I see it as a pitcher. Look, I love all those guys. As long as you play, if you play the game hard, and it's not, you know, if you play the game hard all the time, which is what Tatis does, he could hit, you know, he could ground out short, but he might beat that out. For all we know, he's going to play the game hard always. And then when he gets one, and he's going to do whatever he wants to do. For me as a pitcher, as long as you hit it and I know it's gone, I don't really care what you do. I don't have to look at you. I don't have to watch the ball. If I have to watch the ball and watch it barely go over, I'm going to be a little bit, I'm going to be like, I don't think you really knew. And especially if it hits the wall, which we've seen with guys where it's hit the wall and they have been stuck on first base, it's like, all right, now I'm going to take offense to that because you tried to pimp that. And you ain't even get it out. You ain't even hit it out. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
But and then as pitchers, you know, I'm not going to directly come at somebody or I might give them a little, stare them down a little bit if I punch them out and whatnot, especially in a big spot. I'm not going to directly go at somebody. But it's kind of like, but you also have to know the score and whatnot. It's like, it'd be like dunking on somebody, you know, up or down 15. Like if you down 15, you want to dunk on somebody and you want to get in their face, like they're going to be like, can you just like, you understand where the game's at? Like, so I'm all for guys doing pretty much whatever they want. Like,
yeah,
I think guys think I get offended by certain things, but as long as I know it's a home run, I've never said one thing to anybody.
So where is the ball for your first home run? Where is it, Jack? Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it. It's with mom. Mom's got it.
Okay.
She's got it. I gave it to her when she came out here. We got that one. All I know is I got one. That's what matters to me. I got one. Everyone's so, like, it's about time.
How do you go through the process of getting the ball? Do you have to pay whoever got it off? Do you have to give them free tickets? You had to give them a jersey? What was the process recovering the baseball?
So everyone is different. It depends on who catches it. Some people can be assholes about it. Like I hit mine and it was a dad and two kids. And he was like, can you just sign two baseballs like for the kids and I'll give you the baseball back. I was like, yeah, sure. So I signed the baseballs and I gave him my cleats too. I was like, here, you can have the cleats. Like I'm done with it. And our security, they usually, you know, run it back on video, see who got the ball. And then they go out and ask them. But for another example, you know, one of our guys, Arenado, he hit his 250th and, you know, they go out and ask the guy, hey, can we get the ball? He goes, yeah, I want 10 grand for it. And he's like, what the hell do you mean you want 10 grand for this baseball? He said, I want 10. He's like, you can keep the fucking ball. I don't want it. I'm not going to get it. So you get two different sides of it. But I got mine easily, thankfully. I have to go through that trouble.
That's 10 grand?
10 large.
He said 10 grand for his, and but what it is there's no, you know, that ball's not authenticated. You could claim whatever it is. And so I don't know. He wanted that for it. Nolan said, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm going to hit more than that.
I'll just hit more.
I'm just going to 300, so that ball will be obsolete.
Yeah, it won't even matter.
Yeah, that one's not going to matter.
By the way, speaking of All-Star break, did you see the fan at the Home Run Derby diving for the ball?
And you gotta go all out.
Spill over the rail.
Going all out.
Oh my god,
but
dude!
If you go all out, you gotta catch it though.
That's the thing. He didn't even catch the ball. He's like, I was going for it. I didn't get it. And he went ass over tea kettle over the railing, trying to get the ball. That can't be the dumbest thing you've seen a fan do.
Now you're
gonna
be on Sports Center forever looking like a dumbass.
Forever trying to jump out, catch that ball,
looking like Dumas.
Him and the guy from last week that dropped the baby to catch the foul ball. like that's just oh. It's a bad.
I'm sure somebody wasn't happy about him dropping. At least he caught the baby.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. He caught the damn baby.
I'm always shocked that these parents sit in the position where they. My first instinct would be able to cover my child. They trying to get a ball and stuff. I'm like, what kind of parents are these?
Baby and a beer, and he chose to drop the baby. like, dude, I love my beer, but come on. Beer goes first. Don't drop the baby to catch the foul ball.
Oh, man.
Supposed to catch the ball in the beer like the one guy did that time.
Yes.
You have the baby in one arm, the beer, and you catch it
and
in
then
the
drink
beer.
The beer. That's how it goes. Damn straight.
Hey, Jack, I want to go back to Ohtani for a second. We all know that, obviously, what was in the news recently about, you know, Stephen A. Smith's comments and about, hey, he can't be the face of the league because he doesn't speak English or has an interpreter. When you heard, what were your thoughts? And you have so many talented guys that come from the West Indies, the Caribbean, and South America throughout the history of baseball. What were your thoughts when you heard that statement?
I've been trying not to touch this one. It's funny you say. I've been trying not to touch, but the sport of baseball in and of itself has an issue with marketing their players and the way that they do it. Like baseball itself has an issue. I think Stephen A. was wrong in saying that the way that he said it and all that he said in terms of, you know, he can't be the face because he needs an interpreter. Like, no, everybody loves him. Like, and Ichiro has come out and said the reason he uses an interpreter is because he can speak English. Shohei can speak English, but if something is said slightly wrong or whatnot, he's able to express exactly what he means by using the interpreter instead of getting something slightly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're the face of baseball, you're the face of baseball, regardless of where you're from, what language you speak. So I don't think he was right there, but the sport of baseball has an issue in and of itself, the way that they market their players and the issues that they run through with that. He was wrong. It was out of line for what he said in saying that the dude needs to not have an interpreter. It's bad that he's going to be the face of baseball. because you got a handful of guys, and all of those guys are not, you know, they're not American. You've got Tatis, who's first language is Spanish. You've got Shohei, you've got Acuna, and all those guys' first language is in English. But when you're the guy, you're the guy. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, because you talked about baseball and its marketing issue. You know, Mike Trout has been the king of baseball for quite some time. And the last time I checked, you could correct me if I'm wrong, he speaks perfect English. So it's not a language barrier thing. It is a baseball marketing type of thing.
Yeah, but it's a want, you know. It comes with the territory. There's a lot of things you got to do when you are, you know, when you're that guy. There's a lot of extra things that you have to do. And, you know, Trout didn't want to do it. He was just, I just want to play ball, which is fine. By all means, like, that's just, it comes with the territory.
It's just weird that happens across only baseball and basketball, because the two sports are such, you know, international sports played in America. And when you have guys that don't speak the language quite as well as people who quote unquote do, because there's a lot of people that are the face of a certain sport. I'm like, what the fuck he doing the face for? He can barely speak English at them, and he's, you know, and so it's funny that people would say, oh, he can't speak English. It doesn't matter if you can speak English or whatnot. It's about the talent you put on the field.
Yeah, it's about how you play the game, right? You know?
Yeah, because it's just a sport, man. Who gives a damn if a guy can speak English or whatnot, you know? It pisses me off that you know, Stephen A. is one of those type of guys. He can get on a tangent and say things, you know, off kilter. For him to say that, I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, it's such an old white man take for Stephen A. You know, like, you play baseball in America, you better speak. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just such a...
It was like, come on, dude.
That's like, you know, come on.
You know, but the thing about Stephen A. is he gets away with a lot of shit he shouldn't say, but sometimes he can get a little, you know,
too comfortable.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, you know, we come into this season with the, obviously, Major League Baseball banning the use of, you know, checking pitchers and checking, seeing what's on their hands. Who's going to be the first pitcher to strip down butt naked and say, just go ahead and just search
it? Was it Sergio that was like, I'll take my jersey off?
I'll
take my jersey off.
I didn't go strip all the way down.
Have they bothered you with that at all? Have you gotten any of that early in the year?
Well, see, that's the thing is it started – right after I got hurt is when they put the rule into effect. That's the thing is, it's been a rule on paper, but it was never enforced. They were just everybody just, you know, looks to the side whenever it came up, because everybody's known it's been going on.
Right.
But they're not enforcing a rule. Like, what? And now in the middle of the year, we're going to pick up and, hey, by the way, we're going to use this one. It's dumb. I talked to JJ Redick about this, and it was like, you know, could you imagine if they, and the baseball gets changed every year. Like, could you imagine if the ball in the NBA got changed just a little bit every year, whether the way, like, I don't know, what did they ever do that?
They changed the ball one time, and you thought it was going to be a riot. And Peter came out and talked so bad about the NBA and that, oh, you're using a leather basketball and you shouldn't do this. And so they went to the synthetic basketball, which was god awful. You could just spin it really fast and it would stick to the backboard and fall in. So it was incredible to score with. The scoring went up because you could trick the ball to do whatever you want to do. So all the major guys started complaining, and it started out to be the beginning of the season. So by the time December rolled around, that's 2 months, it was back to the old ball. And we said, fuck you, Peter, go on about your business. We're going to play with the ball because this is how basketball has been played. We're not going to change because of the pressure we're getting from you guys. And it was bad, man. The ball, I still have that ball. I have it because they sent everybody to NBA this ball, and they put your name on because they wanted you to get used to it playing with them. I'm like, man, this shit's terrible, man. It was just bad, man. So hopefully
that crappy ball's got to be an NFT or something right now, isn't it? I mean, it's got to. How can we not sell that somewhere? You know what I mean? Yeah.
So are they changing the size, the weight? What are they doing with the baseballs?
If you compare all the baseballs, and we go through, you know, 100 a game probably. Mm-hmm. Every single ball is different. The seams on it are a little bit different. If you compare the ball from last year to this year, if you press on it, I don't know, I don't remember which one, but one of them you can press on it and you can push into it, and the other one is rock hard. And so it just changed the way the ball spins, the way the ball comes out of your hand. Mm-hmm. And it's, like everyone's different. Then you go into playoffs and the ball feels completely different there, depending on where you're at.
So you should do the Tom Brady, just, you know, deflate gate. Have your own set of balls in a bucket.
Rob, there's no right air there. In baseball. All right.
I know, but I'm saying like deflate gate. You got to have your own balls.
But I'm just letting you know they don't put air inside baseballs, okay?
No, I'm just saying have your own balls set to the side of the bucket. Just says Jack
this is the
Flaherty,
ball I use.
Bucket of balls, right. These are okay. My balls that I want. You already taped them out.
I'm sure there's plenty of guys walking around baseball going, these are my balls.
Yeah, you got to, man. That's what I would do. You know, a funny thing, before we would play every game, we would go to shoot around. And so Phil would take a needle, you know, what you use to pump the balls up, and he'll fill every ball. If it was hard, he'll let the air out.
So Shaq told us about this. Yeah.
Yeah. He liked playing with the soft balls because he felt like it would give you a shooter's temper. Huh?
I said, well, he's an old man. You know what I mean? Sorry, I'm like 7 years old today.
I see.
Hey, Jack, either one of them was going to say it or I was going to say it. I was trying.
I wasn't going to say it. But I hated that, though, because, you know, I was never a guy who liked to dribble the basketball. And so all of a sudden you're used to the ball bouncing up a certain high with enough air, and all of a sudden it's not coming up. I'm like, man, I don't want this shit, man. I don't dribble the basketball anyway. But when I do, I need that shit to come up because I don't want to turn it over.
It's just crazy.
Give me the rock. Let me shoot.
It's crazy to me that they will continue to change the baseball, though. That's just wild.
Yeah, and they won't be consistent about it.
I know.
They say it's the same. It never is.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. Those other mobile companies make you think you're in control, but you're really not. They lure you in with shiny new phones and then lock you into long-term contracts. But Simple Mobile is different. You can get a 30-day plan starting at $25. You can also get the latest smartphones, or if you have a compatible phone you love, you can bring it. Just text BYOP to 611-611 to see if your phone is compatible. It's the reliability you need when you need it. All on a powerful nationwide 5G network with no mystery fees, no activation fees, and no contract ever. All for less money and no contract ever.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network is not available in all areas. 5G upload speed not yet available. Message and data rates may apply. Visit simplemobile.com/privacy policy for the privacy policy. Service plan required for activation. Terms at simplemobile.com.
Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
I want to know who's in your fantasy league, because we know the two of you face each other, I guess, a pretty fair amount. Who else is in this league?
We got a couple different ones, but one of them we run with the Cardinals League, our team. We run one, and then we started one last year with Rob that Rob was in. Mike Moustakas is in it.
Okay.
A couple other pro guys, and then just some of my friends, some of my good friends, his buddies. But Moose is probably the one of the guys, you know. But okay. Yeah, Rob was in it.
Who's winning this league? That's what I want to know.
Cole Tucker, actually. Cole Tucker won it last year. He won the first year of it. So.
Okay. So not Ori. Got it. Noted.
No, not Rob.
No, I didn't. I finished higher than Jack. That's all that matters. I had a better record than Jack. Yeah. See, the only reason I lost is because all those guys know each other and they're friends, and they was making all these trades that I wasn't included in.
God.
So they make trades. Next
the
thing,
excuses,
you know, Rob's right there.
Man.
You know,
they're just, they're like,
with that's what I pick. What he does, man.
I'm just saying. Go with what I pick.
Jack, that's what he does.
It's always somebody else's
you know, fault, man.
So just to let y'all know, also, Jack still owes me dinner from losing fantasy football, but he swears up and down he will not pay up. He will not. He says, I'm never going to pay up. This is what these are the words that Jack said.
I will not pay up for dinner. I absolutely will not. Nope.
See what I got to deal
well,
with.
After hearing your laundry list of excuses, I don't blame him. You're just like, you're blaming this thing on anybody else. Well, I was informed of
this.
This
was just me just being the dominant player. Uh-huh. Best guy on the court as is, you know, is what happens.
I'm not paying up for dinner for Rob, but that's not.
And you know, it's like dang, dude. Like, now think about this.
I'm gonna be sorry about that one.
The starting pitcher will not pay his bets. Mm-hmm. to an old man that's retired is not getting a paycheck from a professional.
Listen,
from a
Jack,
professional organization.
Jack, Rob will show up at your next arbitration and throw that on the table. I promise you, okay?
Hey, you know, Jack is in tune with his arbitration, too, because it's huge for him. So he, you know. Hey, you know, we ain't going to talk about how the money he just got paid. But see,
no,
I still
I
can't get my dinner.
I didn't bring that up. I just said you're showing up for the next arbitration.
I just said, right. I pay all my debts, but I'm not paying that one to you. I'm good on my bets. If I make a bet, I'll follow through with it.
I love this.
I can't say I'm going to follow through on that one.
I love that he dug in on you on this. It's my
I know it.
He's always dogging for it. Whenever I come by, he's always like, where's dinner at? Where you going to pay for dinner?
Yeah.
You should just have some real crappy pizza or something delivered to his house and be like, we're done.
Exactly. Yeah, let's all go to dinner. I'm like, yeah, right. It's just me throwing that shit out there like that. No, we're not going to dinner.
Well, and then he's going to stick you with the bill. That's how it works. You know?
I trust me, I know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you. I already have it already planned out when we go to dinner. I know exactly what I'm going to do.
You're not going to leave.
I'm not going to leave.
You're going to just leave your wallet. You're going to forget the credit card.
I'm going to just make sure it's maxed out before I get there. Like, card's maxed out.
Can't use it.
Oh.
Can't use it. Sorry.
All right. So, Jack, we've had pretty much almost every member of the 94-95 Houston Rockets on here. One thing that we always ask each and every one of them is, tell us something about Robert Horry that we don't know. Because it seems like he paid all of them off to tell us nothing but great things. So here you are, a friend of one Robert Horry. Please tell us something juicy about one Robert Horry. Because everything, he just seems like he's an angel to everybody. I know that's something.
Angel?
Yeah.
He is not an angel. He takes care of me. Don't get me wrong. He takes care of me, whatever I need. You finally can't beat your son in basketball. Beat him one-on-one. That's for sure.
I can't beat him one-on-one, but I can shoot his eyes out. Let's get that straight.
I mean,
because he ain't got to move.
He wants to act all tough, but we know who wears the pants in the marriage. We know that she runs you.
Oh yes. There's no doubts about this. Even though at the start of the show this week, he's like, well, you got to, you know, put them in their place sometimes. I'm like, yeah, my ass.
But hey, this, first of all, my wife calls Jack her second son. Her son. And I'm going to tell you how much I love this guy, Jack. You know, Jack couldn't be at our wedding, but he had just made it to the playoffs. He's on national TV. And gave us a shout out. That's how much Jack loves Candace. He didn't even mention my name.
Oh, he said no.
Candace.
Yes.
It's like, exactly. I'm like, oh, Candace did get married to me, dude. Come on now.
I mean,
so.
Yeah, I couldn't be there. They decided to hold the wedding on the last day of the season. I had to pitch. We had to win to get in the playoffs. And yeah, I was being interviewed after it. I decided to give him a shout out. I don't remember what was said, but yeah.
Candace would know because Candace started crying. And all I said was, he owes me dinner. That guy owes me dinner.
I don't have much else on Rob.
All right. That's cool.
And the thing is, Jack, look, you don't have to give Rob a shout out. This man got 7 NBA titles. Everybody know Robert Horry. He don't need no shout out. For what?
He gave a shout out to Candace, man, not me.
It was for Candace. It was for Candace.
Yeah. And Rob sent up and talking about she married me. Well, I didn't get mentioned. Well, he don't need to be mentioned. This is all for your wife. It ain't got nothing to do with you.
Yeah. You know the one thing that stuck with me that Rob told me. He said, you guys are so soft in baseball. Y'all all got the goggles on. Y'all got everything on after you celebrate. And I was like, He said, no, you got to feel that thing burn. But he said, why you guys pop bottles so often? Like, for what? And when he said that and I thought about it, I actually agreed with him. I was like, all right, like, you're not wrong. Like, in baseball, after every series, like, you celebrate.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like you're right about that one. Like, there ain't no reason for it unless you win the whole thing. Yeah, it's like, for everything, there's a celebration after every playoff series.
You know, a funny story, guys. I remember, you know, if you go back for a long time, you didn't get trophies in the NBA for winning the West and going to the finals. I think that came along like in 2000, maybe 3 or 2, maybe 2001. I remember when it first happened, I was with the Lakers. And all of a sudden, you know, God rest his soul, David Stern was like, oh, we want to present the Los Angeles Lakers with yada, yada, yada. And we're looking at it like, what the fuck is that, dude? Like, where'd that come from? We don't. And everybody and the guys who were new to the team were like, yeah. Like, no. You don't celebrate this shit. No, you celebrate Larry. That's the only thing you celebrate. And you have to have that mentality, because to me, if you celebrate these wins, it makes you soft. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It just makes you comfortable, I should say. And so you got to stay hungry. You have to stay humble. You got to have that want, because when you celebrate after every individual win, that's pointless. It's like you did what you were supposed to do. You only celebrate the granddaddy of them all, the big trophy. So that's how we've always looked at it. And that's just the way we have been taught old school. Right? It might be wrong, but that's what we do.
It makes sense, though. It makes sense. When you said it and I thought about it, it made sense.
All right. Well, look, we've wasted enough of this young man's time, I think. So unless he's going to make
go
with dinner,
some
I think
video
we're
games.
Good. I mean, you know.
He's going to go think of some ways to hate on Rob more, you know.
We fully support him.
Why are you a hater, man?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I love you. That's the only reason, man, because I love you. I want y'all to know something about Jack. Jack went to Harvard Westlake, where my son is attending school right now. He's every time he comes in town, he makes sure he hangs out with Christian, takes Christian to practices, picks him up, and he stays on him. That's so, cool. Jack, you know, you, that big brother that Christian has, another one. So thank you. Love you, dude. And much success to you. Stay healthy, stay strong, and may you pitch for 30 years and make a lot of money. So maybe one day you might feel sorry enough to take me to dinner.
When I'm done with my career, I'll take you to dinner.
I might not still be here, man. Yeah, shit. Yeah. You know, you already told me you want to pay 30. Jack told me he won't pitch for like 30 years, man. Like 30 years. Shit. I'm not even going to have teeth to eat, man. I'm just going to eat mush.
Hey, look,
give me oatmeal.
The Happy Meal comes with a toy, okay? That's all you got to remember.
Jack, what are you? You're what? Hey, 25?
25.
Man, that man going to pitch to you. He can pitch until you're 40, 43.
That's what
45.
I'm saying. Yeah. That's 20 years from now.
I got a guy on my team right now pitching into his 40s. I'd be like, I can't sell myself short.
That's right. Think about this. In 20 years, I'll be 70.
Oh,
70. I can't eat a damn steak
no.
At 70.
Baby food's cheap, man. You just stir it up, feed it to him. Feed it to him.
It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan.
Hey, I just work around. I just go through his mom. His mom is like, okay, we're going to take Candace and Robert to dinner. Okay. There's a ways around it.
There's always a way around it. Thanks, man. We appreciate
thanks,
your time,
Jack,
dude.
Man.
It's always real great to talk to you. And
get healthy soon,
man.
We
get
miss
better.
Seeing you out there, man. So
get better.
We'll be soon. We'll be out there soon. Right. Appreciate it.
All right, man. You weren't kidding when you say he's like family. He busted your balls more than anybody we've had on the show. I swear he did. I mean, and it's like all in good family, love, and fun. But you know,
Jack was valedictorian. Jack's fucking smart, man.
Man.
He's smart. He's talented.
He's a great pitcher.
Handsome kid.
Holy cow, he's a great pitcher.
Yeah.
So this just came across this has nothing, I mean, it's not major breaking news, but Reggie Bush has a documentary coming out. He said, I'm finally ready to tell my story.
He ain't getting his trophy back.
No, he's not.
He needs to.
No, he won't get it back.
He needs to.
But he won't. It's a matter of he won't.
Which you is know, ridiculous.
But here's the thing. They say, oh, they're paying him, but didn't they pay his parents or something? I don't know the full story behind
it. Yeah,
that.
I think his parents got offered some money and he took it. Yeah.
Yeah, now he ain't getting his trophy back. And that's part of it, too. Like these guys that scream about retribution years after something happens, 98% of the time, there's not going to be a revisionist history. They're not going to go back and right the wrong, you know, if you felt wrong.
You can't, you got to understand that the rules were the rules then, you know, 20 years from now, you know, they're going to be able to smoke weed and run in the Olympics, but the shit is the rules are the rules.
The rules are the rules. So.
And I'm going to tell you one thing that we need to do, like we talked about a couple of months back, we need to get your good friend Vince Young on so I can tell him why Reggie deserved, he got that Heisman Trophy that year and the reason he deserved it. Yes, sir. You remember we had that conversation?
You don't make me go. I know we had the conversation. I'm getting on the plane. Come choke you, man. You know that dude that deserves that shit.
He gonna jump all the way on the plane to come over here to Atlanta to
choke your ass out.
He gonna sit up here and spring away.
Hey, I'm here for it.
I'm Homer Simpson. You bark.
No.
His ass. PJ Carlissimo.
I'm PJ Carlissimo. You Springwell.
His ass. That's funny. All right. Well, let's wrap it up with the big shot of the week and shout out again to Jack Flaherty for joining us. Now, since we were on baseball, big shot of the week is going to go to Dr. Willie Ross. Dr. Willie's son, Joe Ross, is a starting pitcher for the Washington Nationals. During a game in San Francisco this previous weekend before the All-Star break, Dr. Willie's there to support his son, notices a woman in distress in the stands, and signaling she was okay, but Dr. Willie, because he's a doctor, could tell that she wasn't. He administers the Heimlich maneuver and gets two giant pieces of hot dog up to stop this woman from choking. And everybody's applauding him and giving him. When he turns around and he notices she's still in distress, does it again and gets a third piece of hot dog up and saves this woman's life. So when everybody else was going, oh, she'll be okay, here comes the father of the starting pitcher for the Nationals in to save the day and kind of save this woman's life. So big shot of the week to Dr. Willie Ross.
Hey, let me tell you. That's why when you know how to do those things, it's one of those things when you learn how to do it, you never think you have to use it until it's time and you see somebody choking and, hey, folk eating hot dogs, popcorn, and all the excitement, and before you know it, they sit up there choking on a piece or whatever. It's time to get to work.
I'm just sitting back saying, you know, what? Why you got three big chunks of hot dogs?
Three. Swallow. Stuck in your throat. Take another bite.
Do you swallow, not know chew
take
your
Take another bite.
Like,
she eats like
hell?
A duck. It's just
she in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest? She was trying to get a bunch of them down? What's going on?
I don't know.
But you know, for a doc to see that and understand that, and listen to this, they're very special. Doctors have an eye for a lot of things. And for him to see that woman is in distress and to go over while everybody's like, oh, no, she's fine. I'm like, can
she
you
was
speak?
Waving everybody off like she was okay. And
was she waving everybody out? Or was she was like, hey, come help me.
Help.
You know, it's a difference.
Follow the show on Twitter.
Said
Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.